Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. All right. Should you launch a podcast? You know, success in marketing today is all about content. And in order for you to be discovered, you need to be seen and heard. And whether you're a speaker or a writer, what we know for sure is that people need to hear from you in order for them to develop that know, like, and trust factor that gives them the confidence that they need, that you are the person for them, that they can do business with you. And one of the most popular ways you can get out there and become known is by hosting a podcast. But how do you know if podcasting is right for you? Do you have a good idea for a show? And how would you get anyone to listen to it? So get ready to go to Podcasting Business School today, my friends, as my special guest is going to unpack for you the exact formula for creating a podcast that enhances your brand, gets your ideal people engaged, and results in more money in your pocket. Today, we are speaking with Adam Scheible. Adam is the founder of Podcasting Business School, and he is the host of a podcast by that name and several other podcasts. Is that right, Adam?
That is 100% correct, Deb Boulanger.
And I have a feeling that you are doing other things in your life besides podcasting. Is that true, or is this your full-time gig, and how'd you get here?
Well, this is what I do full time, but I'm also a full time dad and, you know, a full time husband and all that. So I've got a full life. But yeah, it's interesting when I tell people that I'm a full time podcaster, because most people do podcasting as a hobby. And that's my tagline of my show is love it like a hobby, but build it like a business. And it's very possible to do both. I think we're going to dive into a lot of that today.
Yeah, we'll dive into a lot of that today. And full disclosure, Adam and his team produced the Life After Corporate podcast. And so we've had a great time. I've learned a ton. I'll delete the expletive that I was going to put before ton. I've learned a ton of great strategies from you on how to get my podcast more exposure. And I'm so excited to have our listeners and viewers get to know you here today. So how did you get here? You know, where did you get that very first idea for launching a podcast? What were you doing first?
Yeah, so I have always been kind of a wild stallion entrepreneur. That's something that we should put out there, since this is Life After Corporate. I've never had a corporate job. I've only had like what I would consider a real job for about a month. I bagged groceries at Marsh Supermarket when I was 16 years old, and I realized I was unemployable. So at that point, I became a wild stallion entrepreneur. But where I really started cutting my entrepreneurial teeth was in the fitness industry, where back in 2003, I got into personal training, strength coaching. 2009, started my own gym, bootcamp fitness, and did that for about 10 years. And we had a big impact. And like, I went through my own transformation story. I lost 100 pounds. I helped my hometown lose 35,000 pounds. We tracked it. Like, we were right across the street from a McDonald's, and they have the over a billion served. So we had a sign that tracked how much weight loss we produced in the town.
Oh my God.
And we were going like back and forth. This was like marketing battle. But I had a lot of my members that were offering up, hey, I would love to invest in this. Let's franchise. This is getting great results. You've invented something that's really working. And the whole franchise thing just never really appealed to me. The impacting more people did, but more responsibility, more time invested, more people I'm in charge of. I wasn't interested in that. So podcasting came across my desk and I was like, this could be the thing. I like to speak. I like to teach in audio format. I've got a unique and memorable voice. I might as well use it. And so I started dabbling in the waters of podcasting with my first show, The Million Pound Mission. So it was a transition from what I was doing in my gym into let's impact more people, or let's attempt to do that across the world and just see what happens. And my audience, they responded slowly at first, which is the truth for every podcaster that doesn't have a giant brand. Like I was starting with zero online followers. So, you know, the first year you're getting traction, you're building things up, I'm putting in my reps. But then in that second year, I started getting these emails of, I've listened to every episode, I've lost 70 pounds, I'm in, you know, Europe or Australia, or like, and that just started to blow my mind. I was like, wow, I can impact people from all over the world. And then I was like, okay, the whole philosophy with my gym was more, you know, focus on impact first, income will come afterwards. So I started doing that with the show. And I just started putting some offers out there, like little online boot camps, workshops, things like that, coaching. And the dollars started coming in. I was like, wow, like we can actually monetize this. And sponsorship things started to happen. And that's when the podcast curious, I call them podcrastinators, or people that I'm running into that are already in the space that we were like swapping interviews. They're like, hey, can you help me grow my show? Can you help me monetize like you are? Can you help me launch a show? And that's where my second show, Podcasting Business School, got launched. And now I've got a third one specifically for launching called Podcast Launch Tips. But the addiction just kind of spiraled from there. And now I've sold my gym. I don't do any fitness at all. I have one health show still, but that I just do with my best friends. That it's just kind of a fun thing. We get some sponsorship and that's fun too. But my focus is helping podcasters launch, grow, and monetize. And it's so much fun and I love it. And it really is a full-time gig for me. And it's what I do 100% of the time when I'm focused on business.
I think, you know, it's a beautiful story to follow your passion. You're a natural at getting people surrounding an idea. You know, you're a great communicator, a great speaker, but also, you know, your compassion comes through and just getting people galvanized around a concept or an idea. And I don't know where I first saw you. I think it was probably on PodFest. I think I signed up and I started scrolling through some of the replays because, you know me, I got no time. I had no time to go to something real time. But I started scrolling through the replays and for some reason, I made note of your name. It was probably, I was taking copious notes on that little 15-minute thing you were giving. And when I really started getting serious about growing life after corporate, because so many people were coming to me saying, oh my God, love your show. I'm binge listening to it. And the idea came to me, I'm not really promoting this enough, or I'm not promoting it in the right way. And you've been so helpful in the Podcasting Business School. I mean, we have a private client relationship now, and I've just learned a ton in those monthly sessions. But I get a lot of questions from my clients in the Launch Lab and in the Accelerator of, should I launch a podcast? So let's address that question right up front. When can you tell if it's the right time for you to launch a show?
Yeah, well, I love this question. I'm glad that you're giving me the opportunity to discuss this because I think there are a couple layers to this. And the first layer would be the why of your show. Like who's it going to serve and how's it going to serve them? Starting with you. Like we're going to help other people, but if you aren't getting some sort of benefit out of it, then you're probably not going to stick with it. So there are a few different zones. One would be, I've got an existing business or brand and I want to expand that and expand my reach via a podcast. Another option would be, I want to start a brand and build it through my podcast. And that's kind of what I did with the Podcasting Business School and that whole idea. Or it could just be an artistic release. Like you can podcast for no business reason. I talk about the business a lot. That's why I primarily focus on. But some people, it's just a form of expression. And it's like a journal. They're helping people. They're into it. They like just like to have conversations. They're learning. And there is zero money or business about it all. And that's okay too. But I feel like most people fit in one of those three categories on the why behind the show and how they're going to be served. Then once we get that going, we go, okay, who are we going to serve? Like, and how are we going to serve them? Those are the next questions that you need to really realistically be thinking about. And if you can create a show that is for your ideal client, AKA your ideal listener avatar, and you really understand who that person is, what their pain points are, and how you can just deliver over and over and over again for them, we got something that we can work with. And I'll kind of end this point by talking about one or two key ways or key differentiators on why you should think about starting a podcast. Because some people are like, they view a podcast like a Facebook post or a blog post. And to me, it's different. And podcasters have a couple of superpowers. And one of those is we become a part of a daily routine or a weekly routine. What I mean by that is in audio format, like if Deb's show is one of your favorite shows, which it probably is if you're listening right now, then I almost guarantee you, you probably listened to this show doing a specific thing on a specific day at a specific time. So Deb is a part of your routine. Maybe it's Wednesday while you drive the kids to school or Tuesday when you're walking your dog or while you're working out. But that our favorite shows, it's like a weekly routine. It's a certain day, certain thing, certain time. You don't do that with YouTube videos. You don't do that with blogs. You don't do that with emails. So we have that superpower of being infused into a routine. That's why I'm so big on weekly content. If people are like, oh, I'm doing a seasonal thing and I'm going to take a couple of weeks off the holiday season, peace. I'm not going to do any episodes. I'm like, just do something, because if you're the thing that they listen to on Wednesday when they're walking their dog, they're going to listen to something else while you're not there. And there's no guarantee that you get back in those earbuds or not. That may replace you. And all of a sudden we've lost that supreme advantage of being that little voice of reason or that little voice that they're learning from and excited to hear from every single week. So that's one superpower. The other superpower that I love to promote that everybody's like, I've never thought about this, is the deliverability. Podcasting has a 100% deliverability rate. When somebody hits subscribe or follow, depending on where the platform they're listening is, they hit that subscribe button, it shows up on their phone every single time. There's not like a spam filter that's like only certain podcasts use certain words get delivered to the phone. It's 100% deliverability. Like Deb and I are going to fist bump and high five if 70% of our email subscribers don't open our emails. We're like, yes, 30% open rate. Yes, I rock. That's right. Like we're thrilled. So to have a 100% deliverability rate and have that opportunity, and most people have notifications set up to when a new episode is released, that flashes up a new episode, they can click on it. We're in that routine. The opportunity to communicate to your ideal listener / ideal client on a regular basis and have them actually hear what you're saying and be heard, that's huge. So from a business and relationship building perspective, these are truly superpowers that podcasters have that a lot of people, you know, in social media, email marketing, YouTubing, they just can't compete with that. So, but what do you think about that, Deb? Did I plant a few little ideas there?
I mean, that was awesome. I think about the intimacy of speaking directly into someone's ear. And I consider that a great responsibility in terms of content. And I owe you. When you start a show, you're committing. And let's talk about that commitment, because I know you've shared with me some incredible podcast statistics that, you know, there are millions, literally millions of shows out there. But what's the real truth about what's happening inside the podcasting industry?
Yeah. So there are two terms that I throw around out there freely. One is podcastination. Those are the people that haven't launched yet. Like they've got a great idea, but, and they've got the FOMO, but they have that tech fear and they just aren't getting over the hump and actually launching. Once you launch, the next little sneaky phrase that we need to avoid is the pod fade. That's where we launch, we're fired up about it, we're totally into it. And then 7 episodes in, we're like, this is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. And there are a lot less listeners than I thought would happen. And I have not even got one mushroom coffee sponsorship yet, or a mattress company, you know? So like it starts to hit. So let's talk numbers.
Yeah.
There are just under, last that I've talked to people that are smarter than I am, the data that I've gotten, it's just under 3 million podcasts have been launched. They're out there in the ether. All right. 90% attrition rate. When we define attrition by having at least 10 episodes and having launched content in the last 2 months. All right. So that's huge. So we're talking 250 to 300,000 podcasts that have more than 10 episodes and have released something in the last 2 months. I mean, the opportunity.
Yeah, it's still an opportunity, and it may be greenfield in your category. So what are the most important first steps for someone to take? So let's just say they want to do it. They're excited by it. How do you first get started? And what are the most important key things to remember those first few months?
Yeah. So when I do like for my smaller niche down show podcast launch tips, I do these strategy sessions. We focus on three key areas. We focus on the ideal listener avatar, then we talk SEO, and then we talk about episode styles. So let's talk about each of those three things real quick. So the ideal listener avatar, like that's, again, it's where it starts. It's where it ends. You can't just put out content that you think is cool and good because you're the only one that's gonna be listening. You and your mom and your dog. That's it. Three downloads per episode. You have to really listen. If you have an email list, if you have a Facebook group, if you're a part of a Facebook group or a Clubhouse room where your ideal listeners may be hanging out, talk to them, like poll them. What are your biggest 5 pain points in this area of weight loss, business, relationships, meditation, whatever? Like find those things that they're struggling with. And then you just have to get to know those people because that is what every single episode is about. When you're serving a community, it's about them and what they need, not necessarily what you think is cool. Hopefully you can find the intersection. That's the best place to be. So that's the first thing. Understand that ideal listener avatar. The next part, we talk about SEO. And in the podcasting game, there are 3 key zones for search engine optimization. The first one is the name of the show. The second one is the description of the show wherever you host. All right. And the third one is the name of each episode, the title of each episode. So these are the things that are going to pop up in Google searches or when people are searching on a podcast player. So keywords are very important. Keywords, key questions, key terms that you know, that's why understanding your ideal listener avatar is so important first, because those questions, those pain points, when you survey them and you go, I'm thinking about creating a podcast on this topic. If you were looking for a podcast on this topic, what are 3 terms that you would search in Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever? Or what questions would you ask to Google if you were researching this topic? Those are the words, phrases, and questions that we want inserted in our title, our description, and episode title. So a huge mistake that newbies make is they get real tongue-in-cheek and cute with their podcast title. And it's like, it's an inside joke that only you get. And that's not good.
That is not good.
It should be very obvious. So you can see my podcast, art behind me. It's Podcasting Business School. I'll give you one guess. Podcast launch tips, one guess. It's like frying pan over the head, simple, we're good. But it's very searchable. Podcast launch tips is what people put into a search engine when they're looking to launch a podcast. And then in the description, I'm going, are you wondering how to launch a podcast, how to start a podcast? What are the best ways, most efficient ways to launch your podcast? I'm just rearranging the words as much as possible to get every single question, every word that's important. And I do the same thing in the titles where on Podcasting Business School, it's like podcast tips for monetization, podcast tips for audience growth, podcast tips for social media. And it's just, that's what I know works. And we have to be kind of bland and boring and direct. Get creative with the actual content. That's when you can really show off and be creative, but be direct and vanilla and a search engine optimized with all these other things, because I'd rather have you have 1,000 true fans or 10,000 true fans than 3 people that get the inside joke that figured out and decoded your podcast name that no one else could figure out. And then it's also being as specific as possible. You don't want to have your show be the everything for everybody show if you're trying to really serve a specific person. So that's the other thing, niche it down a little bit. As the French say, the riches are in the niches. And I think that's what it is.
We're in the niches. You say tomato, you say tomato.
Yeah. If you're like from Quebec, Canada, I think it's the riches are in the niches. I don't know. But yeah, so that's where we focus on with SEO. And then we look at episode style or episode type. And there are actually 4. And this is another kind of mind expanding topic for a lot of people because they just think, well, I just do interviews like Joe Rogan. That's what I do. That's what podcasting is. But there are also solo episodes. And if you do coaching, if you do consulting, if you want to speak on stages, if you are an author, I need you to do some solo to show off that solo ability and expert positioning as a thought leader, as a person that can speak on these topics. Otherwise, you may be positioning yourself as the person that interviews the expert, and we don't want that. So those are 2 different styles, but then there's also what I call a coaching style episode where you're pulling people out of your audience and you're showing off that coaching ability, which I do every Friday on Podcasting Business School with my podcast audits, and they're my most downloaded episodes. So that should tell you something. And then there's a community style episode where you're pulling either a panel of people for a discussion like on Clubhouse and recording that, or multiple community members or listeners in for a group discussion. And all 4 of those, maybe you can do a little bit of all of them, or we have options other than just the interview. So that's Those are some of the key first questions and things we need to think about.
Yeah. And I think people like the variety, you know, they like the thought leadership, and that's a brilliant way to put it too. And so for everyone listening who is a member of the Launch Lab or the Six Figure Accelerator, now you know why you do so much market research in my program. It's because it's not about being markety and being cute with your titles. It's about landing. And in order to land with your ideal clients, you need to mirror their thinking. And so asking the questions that they ask themselves and put that in your copy is just super important. And hence why Life After Corporate is called Life After Corporate. So what's the difference between a great show, a great podcast versus something that's like, you know, what are the unique characteristics of making a show great?
Well, this is another awesome question, Deb. And I think we briefly touched on it a minute ago when I said we got to find that intersection of really understanding and serving our ideal listener, but also being super interested ourselves, being interesting and interested. It's like dating, you know, that's where you want to go. So I feel like you should show up again, the whole tagline of my show, love it like a hobby, build it like a business. Like if you feel like you're on recess when you're going to do podcast work, you nailed it. If you're getting audience engagement and feedback of this is really helping me, the key word that I love to hear is feels like you're in my head, man. Like all these things, you're in my head. I'm like, yes. Like that's when we know that we're really crushing it and we're getting that feedback, that the results, the listenership is growing. So I really think like this is simple. Understand the people that you're trying to impact and find that cross section of what you're also super interested in, and then find interesting people to talk to sprinkle those interviews and things like that. And like I'm real big on going on the journey with my audience. Like, I've been around in the podcasting game longer than a lot of people out there, you know, consistently, but I'm not just like, I know everything and what I say goes. I'm tagging in people like my friends, Matt and Joe from Hustle and Flowchart, and they've been around even longer than me and they've got a 7-figure show. I'm like, I can learn from these guys. So I have them on, I have them teach my audience. We collaborate. I'm hungry to continue to get better and lead by example too. So if you have all those herbs and spices, you're serving your ideal audience avatar, you are super interested, you're hungry for growth, you're on the journey together, you kind of become this people's champion, you know? And that, if you don't pack a giant brand in your back pocket as you walk into this podcasting journey, that's an advantage that you can have. Representing your people, being relatable, where your audience member, your ideal listener is like, you know what? This Adam guy, he's not Joe Rogan, but he's a lot like me. And I see what he's doing and I like that. I'm following this guy. And I got a lot of people like that. I'm an average Joe, you know, I'm an ordinary person doing extraordinary things in the space just because I understand who I'm trying to serve and I just serve the heck out of them. And that's what I'm 100% focused on.
Yeah, it's really amazing. So the ingredients for a great show, talk about the things that your audience are interested in, be interested, be interesting, make sure you have great SEO. And if you have all of those things in place, you know, sometimes organic growth can be dribs and drabs. You know, you might have 35 downloads for an episode, maybe you hit over 100 and, you know, you're really celebrating, but how do you get real traction with your podcast? So you've committed to it, you're doing it, you got listeners, how do you get more?
Yeah, so this is a giant pain point that I try to serve and overserve and reserve and serve whether it's hot or cold every single episode, because this is why a lot of podcasters quit. And I hate to see that because I know there's a lot of impact left in their brand and in their show, but they're just bummed out because nobody's listening and they feel like a failure. And I think the first key mindset switch that we have to flip is we have to go from trying to executing. And the way that we cross that bridge is we have a marketing game plan. You know, a lot of podcasters, they create content and they post something on social media. I'm trying, like I'm doing all things, Adam. I post here, I post there, I post everywhere. I put out, you know, episodes, but it's disorganized. If something did work, they wouldn't know which thing was working. They're just kind of spraying out there and hoping that it works. So that's how we go. If you're just trying, that's one thing. But if you have a game plan and you're tracking and you're tweaking and fine tuning, then you go into execution. You can execute a plan. So I think you need that marketing game plan. I use a tool that I created called the Podcast Growth Scorecard. You know, there's different ways to monetize. It's a simple spreadsheet. I created it, that, if that tells you anything. It's not high tech. It's like an old school calculator, you know, spreadsheet. So that's what I use because I like, you know, coming from the fitness space, accountability is key. And what you're held accountable to gets implemented. And yeah, gets implemented at a higher level. So that's how I organize mine. There's a scoring system and I'm competitive with myself and I know what my best weekly scores are for my podcast marketing, but it also shows me the correlation. If, you know, if I know that I get better engagement and better download results when I do a lot of video content and not just static posts. So when I started posting more videos, I'm scoring a lot of points in that zone. And I see a direct correlation with download growth. I'm like, all right, let's double our videos. Let's maybe take a little bit of time off LinkedIn or Facebook posts or whatever and double down on videos, or maybe even boost a video or something like that. Let's see what happens then. So you can track and tweak and grow and not just post and pray. I don't like that technique at all.
Ken, will you share that podcast growth scorecard with our audience? That would be super cool if we could share a link to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. Of course. Yeah. It's still free.
I'm still trying to work my podcast growth scorecard, but yeah, I got a couple of things in place thanks to you. Yep. And what is the holy grail? I mean, when you after your first year, 2 years, are you looking for 1,000 downloads per episode? I've heard you name that number before. Why is that important?
Okay, let's talk real numbers. And this is something that I'm hoping to kind of lead a charge with podcasters to be more open and honest about their real numbers, because a lot of podcasters, again, quit because they hear these giant numbers that a lot of them are made up. You know, like usually because I talk, you know, I'm friends with Rob at Libsyn and I'm like, what's the real deal? So let me kick some real numbers at you. And then we kind of extrapolate who's lying and who's not. So if you release a podcast episode and 30 days from that episode release, if it has 125 downloads, you're in the top 50% of all podcasts. Top 50%. You know, and people think they need millions, tens of thousands. They hear these giant numbers. So if you're doing 125 downloads, which is nothing to sneeze at, like,
right,
what if every week you got to speak in front of a live audience of 125 people? You'd be thrilled. You'd be making money, you know?
That's true.
So that's the way that you look at it and not do this comparison syndrome thing of like, but my friend says she does 20,000 downloads an episode or a month or whatever. Automatically, I tell my people, whatever they say, put it in half at least, because that's probably what it actually is. I had my first mentor told me that whenever I go on another show or somebody comes on my show and they ask about downloads, just say 5,000 downloads per episode, no matter what. I wasn't doing 50 downloads per episode at that point. And he told me to lie. I'm like, I don't know about this. Like, it didn't feel right. That relationship did not go very far. So it's a part of the industry that needs to be cut out and more honesty needs to be infused. Because it's just ego.
Yeah.
It means nothing for the listener. Like, who cares? The listeners don't care about how many downloads you do. They just want good content. So 125 is the first mark. The next benchmark is that 500 downloads per episode. That's when I see monetization. I call it, you know, the wheels are a little more lubricated for monetization. When you're getting in front of a consistent group of 500 people that are listening every week and you have a membership or you have a coaching offer or an event or a speaking thing, you're going to see monetization happen a little bit more frequently and easily with that size of an audience. Then we go to 1,000 downloads per episode. That is going to put you in the top 20% of all podcasts. So that's really my goal with my membership, with my coaching, get all of my clients, everybody in my community into the top 20%. So we're going to be making money. It's much easier to make money. We're in 1,000 true fans. We hear about that all the time. And top 20% of every show that's out there. So that's what we build towards. That's kind of that third level goal that's very achievable. I've helped dozens of people do it. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some marketing and organized marketing. It's going to take a little bit of cash just to do certain things. But it's very doable. And I've gotten every show past that and beyond. But it's interesting, Deb, because I'm dipping my toe in the water on a few new projects where I'm seeing people's real numbers, people with big brands, like hundreds of thousands of Instagram followers, millions of YouTube subscribers, and they aren't doing 100 downloads an episode. Not even close. But what they're putting out there into the world, they're telling people that they're doing way, way bigger because it's an ego stroke.
So we have a new term here, Adam. It's called pod envy. So yes. If you have pod envy or pod comparison, we'll have to work on that one. That realize that most people are struggling. And you bring up a really great point here, which is where I want to go next anyway, which is monetization. So when people hear monetization, I think the first thing they think of is sponsorships and that, you know, I need 10,000 downloads per episode to get a sponsor. And that's how I monetize my podcast. But I have a feeling there's other ways to monetize your podcast. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. So let's just touch on sponsorship right off the top, just because a lot of people have questions about that. A lot of them have interest on that. That's when all the brainwaves start cooking. Like, wow, I'm going to launch a show and underwear companies and mattress companies and mushroom coffee and you know, all these things, all the ads that we hear, you know, of HelloFresh, they're going to come calling. So I've dealt with a lot of sponsors. One of my shows does sponsorships. In my humble opinion, it's kind of a pain in the butt. Like, you got to do a lot to keep these people happy. They're not paying you a whole lot. So that's one thing, something to put a thought to put in your pocket there.
Inside scoop, my friends.
But they are looking for 20,000 downloads a month to even talk to somebody normally. Wow. So if your show, and to me, that's like the industry standard to get a conversation on sponsorship. But I'm like, what if I'm releasing one episode a week and doing 20,000 a month versus one episode every day, 20,000 a month? Those are totally different per episode numbers. So that doesn't even make sense. So usually around the 5,000-ish per episode is going to get you a decent sponsorship conversation going. And that might be why my first mentor told me to just say that. But I'm like, they're going to see the numbers once. You know, they're like, we're doing 1% of that. So that's the sponsorship route. And you can get sponsors if you're like super niche down. So example, I recently consulted on someone that was thinking about launching a podcast for moms of triplets. Okay. That's pretty niche down. And I'm thinking Pampers wants to be in front of this. Gerber wants to be in front of this. Because even if she has 100 listeners, they all have three babies. That's
exactly.
That's 300 butts that need diapers, you know, right. And that's all the time. That's a lot of diapers. So that's going to make sense to them. If you can get a connection with the company for a super niche down podcast, if you've got a lifestyle podcast or a fitness podcast, that's just like, there's a million of those. There's all this competition and you're going to get some sort of just weak affiliate deal where they're going to pay you 15 cents for every person that, you know, you're going to make $5 a month off mushroom coffee and it's going to suck. So I wouldn't go there. What I would look at monetization wise is using your own programs, products, and services to, you know, we sell those. If you are a coach, if you are a consultant, if you have a membership, if you have a course, if you have a book, like those are the things you need to use to sponsor your own show. And that was a lesson that I had to learn my first year. I was doing all the affiliate marketing in my health show and it was just frustrating and terrible and not fun. And Joe Polish on I Love Marketing talks about half versus elf. H-A-L-F is hard, annoying, lame, and frustrating. Elf is easy, lucrative, fun. So using my own stuff, promote my own show, that's elf. That's what I want. And so if you are a coach, then do coaching style podcast episodes. Show off that coaching ability. Become that person that's top of mind. So when your listeners are ready to invest in coaching, you're their go-to person. That's how we make our first $1,000 as a podcaster. I consult with people all the time. I'm like, we need to come up with a $250 to $500 package. We're going to sell 2 to 4 of those and you're going to make your first $1,000. And they're like, mind blown. I didn't realize that I could do this. I'm like, yeah, we can systematize this and you just go out and put out great content and this is going to happen. So there's that. Now I know there are people out there that are going, Adam, I don't have a coaching business. I don't have a book. I'm not a speaker. I don't have a membership. I don't have any of those capabilities. Okay, cool. You can still get supported by your audience and you can still monetize by being a connection hub and people will pay for access. Let's say you only do interviews. All right. A lot of people only do that. I don't want to hate on that at all. So that's somebody's jam. What if you were to put on a quarterly workshop or jam session or whatever you want to call it, and you look back and look at the most downloaded episodes of the last quarter, and you're going to bring 3 to 5 of those people on to do a small group workshop for your audience members only that it's behind a $100 or $200 paywall. That's called access. You don't have to be the expert. You're connecting your community to these experts. They do their expert thing and your people will pay for that access. So it could be that simple. And that's another way that I see a lot of people monetizing. So does that make it sense so far, Deb?
Yeah. And thank you so much for that. So there's more than one way to monetize a podcast, from, you know, short challenges and things that people can get into right away to, I love the coaching I want to do. So that's a great idea for me. Thanks for dropping that. I could definitely do some business coaching episodes. I do it all day long, all week long, and that would be great. So that's beautiful. Thank you for that. So how can our listeners follow you, learn more if they're wanting to start a podcast? I mean, Adam is definitely my go-to resource. I think, you know, working with you is working with the best. You're on it. You're up with what's latest. Got a great team. I've enjoyed working with Ashley and the team. So how do people follow you? How do they learn more if they want to launch a show?
Well, first off, I appreciate that compliment, because I know that if you guys listen to the show, you know that Coach Deb has her act together. She is a high level professional. She's got plenty of options. So the fact that she chose me, I'm honored. Like, legitimately, like, that means a lot to me. So thank you for that. I accept that compliment wholeheartedly. But if you guys want to dive in my world, obviously the podcast is always the tip of the spear. Like, that's, I love people to get introduced to me and my energy and my brand there. So Podcasting Business School, if you have not launched yet, Podcast Launch Tips, that's the place to start. All my resources are centered in my hub, my website, which is podcastingbusiness.school. So it's not a .com. It's not, you know, people type that in, they're like, your website's broken. I'm like, no, it's .school. I chose to go for that URL. So podcastingbusiness.school, that's got a lot of ways to engage. So I do a bi-weekly Pod Pal Zoom party. It's a podcast networking, little event where I get all my pod pals together and we do interview swaps. We record an episode together. I put it out as an episode of my show. I'm doing a monthly podcast launch think tank. All these are free things. So if you're thinking about launching, that's a great place to show up. That's newer. That's kind of breaking news here for Coach Deb.
Oh,
but, and then, you know, I hang out on Instagram primarily, Podcasting Business School on there. And I also dabble in Clubhouse and I'm in there. My club is Podcasting Business School. So if you just put Podcasting Business School wherever you're hanging out, I'm probably going to pop up, and I love to interact. Point blank, I love to interact. And I always DM back. I always message back. I always email back. It's always me. Like, it's, I'm a human. I don't use any bots. Bots drive me crazy. So just, and you can test me on that. If you message me somewhere, I will message you back.
100%. I tested it. I think that's what you said on PodFest, that if you follow me on Instagram, I will DM you. And you did.
Yeah.
You did. It was so cool.
Yeah.
So Adam, you are the real deal. It gives me such pleasure to have you on the show and to continue this business relationship we have on growing the Life After Corporate podcast. And just thank you so much for dropping all those gems.
Well, Coach Deb, I appreciate you. And if anybody heard anything, this is a little challenge I like to put out there when I guest on someone else's stage. So if any of you heard anything that inspired you, that made you want to take action, I call this my implementation alarm challenge. So grab the cellular mobile device that you're listening on currently or watching and go to the alarm, set it for 1 day from today. So 24 hours from right now. And your only goal is to kind of flick over that first domino of momentum, to create momentum towards that idea that you've got within the next 24 hours, because podcasting can be totally entertaining and Deb brings the entertainment every week, but I also want you to implement, because that's how we get impact. So 24-hour implementation alarm challenge, get out there and get it in. If anything, that alarm will go off in 24 hours and it'll make you think about me one more time. And that's a good thing to have happen too. So
that's Coach Adam coming out.
Appreciate you.
Coach. All right, Adam, thank you so much. That's it for this week, my friends. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.